Welcome to In the Hive. I'm Roger McDonough. Today on the show, we are speaking with two researchers from the Utah Women and Leadership Project at Utah State University about the distinct impacts the pandemic has had on career advancement opportunities for Utah women. COVID-19 has significantly impacted, well, everyone. But in Utah, jobs held by women declined at more than twice the rate of men between 2019 and 2020. That's just one of a number of items teased out in a new study from the research group. And for this conversation, I'll be speaking with the two authors of this study. Dr. Susan Madsen is director of the Utah Women in Leadership Project at the John M. Huntsman School of Business at USU. And Maren Christensen is research associate with the Utah Women in Leadership Project. Thanks very much to you both for making time for this.
Great to be here.
So this pandemic has had universal impacts. That's sort of the definition of a pandemic, that it impacts everyone. But that doesn't mean that it impacts everyone equally. And when you tease out the data in certain areas, say in the economic sphere, you begin to see those disproportionate impacts more clearly. And you carried out a study looking at the impacts of COVID-19 on women and work. And I'm wondering if you can just to start with, tell us how that research was carried out. You know, this was a survey. How was it done?
So what we did is actually through the past year during the pandemic, I've had many people, legislators and community members, business leaders really request that we did some substantial work in the area of, you know, understanding the impact of COVID-19 on Utah women and work. And so in January, we opened a study, we collected the data all month, and overall we had over 3,500 people participate, women around Utah in all the counties and areas of the state. And last month, we actually launched our first brief, and that was more on the numbers, the statistics. So we're going to have many briefs roll out from this data.
Okay.
We had 2,744 people of that group actually take time to answer at least one of the open-ended questions. And so this particular brief that was just launched today really focuses on qualitative research, the women's stories. And the question we focused on this brief was really, we have so much data, let me just say that. Yeah. And we just took the data related to their career advancement challenges. So that is the piece that we really focus on with this. And there were still over 2,500 women that gave us comments about this particular one. So that's a little bit of the scope, and we're really diving deep into the challenges of advancement. So our study last month that we launched really was about some statistics and really about burnout and hope and some different things about women in general and being employed. This one really focuses on that advancement.
Hmm. And there are a lot of findings here. The overarching theme is that the pandemic had a significant impact on women in the realm of their earning potential and their career trajectory. And in fact, you identify four primary themes from the survey. They are, I'm just going to name them, everything is on hold, lost or relinquished opportunity, re-evaluation of career, and then experiences by various characteristics. And I'm wondering if we can walk through what each of those categories means and the experiences reported by the women involved in the study, just by starting with the first category there, everything is on hold. And, you know, I think that the title itself is a pretty obvious one, but this is in the specific context of the, you know, of the career itself. Can you sort of give us an overview of what this category looked at?
Yeah, and let me just say before we start also that these effects on women's career advancement just kind of accentuates what was already happening. So this first theme for women, everything is on hold, probably happened for both genders. So this is where, you know, raises were stopped. Employers were worried about the economy and what was going to happen. Lots of uncertainty for companies who maybe laid off half their workers. The remaining workers got the rest of that responsibility without an increase in pay, right? And that's not surprising. we also heard of women just saying, like, you know, we felt like we were lucky to just have a job. And I just feel like for that first theme, it is probably the case for both genders. It's when we get into the second theme that I think it's where it was, mostly impacted women and what women were facing prior to the pandemic as well, where if there is, Susan.
I'll jump in because I really see it that it can hit both, but I see very unique based on the research that we see coming out of, nationally and so forth. I really see some very gender specific things in this. Everything is on hold. For what we do know from research through the years, that women really struggle more in terms of career advancement in general and being seen. So women have to do things differently than men because we're not seen as much as men in most settings. We struggle, we're interrupted and those kinds of things. And so the women's comments in this piece specifically with, I don't think I haven't had the face-to-face comments. I mean, there were some real key things that I think that many men don't actually have. So women have to actually be there and be seen so people remember them. And so one woman said, I have to jump at every opportunity to prove my worth and value. And online, it's just making me feel more burnout, a little bit easier when we're there in the office. So, and another piece in that first theme was really increased work responsibility without increased pay. And we had a lot of teachers actually who took this study most, I should say, of the K-12 teachers are women. A significant number more, are women than men. And we know that teaching totally was messed up, right?
Upended.
So they're trying to teach online and in person and in so many different ways. And I know as a faculty, and I used to be a junior high teacher myself, that lesson plans for online and in person are very different. They're very different. So we had some say, you know what, maybe I'm not going to stay as a teacher anymore because this is just too much work and I'm not getting any more pay because of this thing.
Yeah.
That's a really good point too, because all of these themes kind of interact and they kind of intersect where, yes, teachers were doing all of that extra work with not enough pay. And they were also very likely to say that because of how teachers experienced the pandemic, they are completely reevaluating the career, which is theme three.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah.
Right. And that's, I was going to jump around a little bit, but you're right that the common theme or the sub theme here was that people were dissatisfied with their work, but felt that it was too risky. I mean, I'm looking at the sub theme in this very specific category. It was too risky a time to be thinking about changing careers. And so you just kind of hold on.
There's some real differences when you look at the research, and I have for years and years on this. There's really a difference between men and women and risk taking. So men have more testosterone. We all know that. And actually, testosterone is a big cause and socialization, because little boys are socialized more towards taking risks than little girls. And so that risk really impacted men and women differently. I think many men felt, maybe we just should hold right now. But women, if there was any bit of risk during this, many of them are just like, I'm on hold. I'm pushing that hold button. I'm just not going to take any risk. And at the end of this brief, we actually talk about, we present a statement from one woman who was 64, and she was just saying, you know what, I didn't want to retire yet. I had another couple of years left, but I really don't trust the economy, and I just went ahead and retired. But I'm taking a loss because of that, and that comes with that risk too. So women are more risk averse than men, in because of those kinds of things. So I do think, especially in the industries that women were in, that they had less opportunities, especially in those industries like food services, of course, and retail and hospitality and those kinds of things. I think we do know from the research that there's more women who are in those sectors, right? Those industries. And so no raises, no opportunities for advancement, just trying to stay afloat. So I do think there's really quite a few gender differences in those areas.
Yeah.
And just the long-term compounding effects of what this will mean for women's advancement and the wage gap. So that's kind of why I bring up, like, some of these were some of these things both genders may have experienced, but women were already trying to make up for lost ground. And all of these things are just going to have long-term effects down the road.
I'll point out that that's Maren Christensen, who is research associate. We're also hearing from Dr. Susan Madsen, director of the Utah Women and Leadership Project. And we're talking about a study that they conducted that looked at the impact of the pandemic of COVID-19 on Utah women and work, and looked at career advancement challenges. One of the things that maybe was a parallel to that being risk averse that we were talking about just a moment ago is, I don't know, for years I've talked to people who say, I'm staying in my job. I don't like my job, but I'm staying in it because I'm terrified of not having health insurance, for example. And so they just, you know, they keep going with it. There's some parallel there. That's just an observation. I'm sorry.
Can I just add one thing? We're making the assumption in this conversation, and I have to catch myself all the time, that all women have choice. And sometimes you don't. You don't have the education. You don't have, I mean, you really don't have the choice. You need to feed your children. We have many women who are single mothers in this state. In fact, 40% of single mothers in this state live in poverty. So, you know, and then we often assume in these conversations that there's two parents in the home, two partners. And so when you look at the struggles that we've had, even in homes like mine, where I have a husband and there's me, you know, oftentimes we forget that lots and lots of people in the state of Utah don't have that luxury of those quote choices, right?
Yeah. And you, this is, you know, a sub theme of the next category, that lost or relinquished opportunities, is that, you know, you have the sacrificing career goals because now, again, we're assuming certain choices, but now, for example, the kids are always at home because it's the pandemic and they can't go anywhere, or suddenly you're homeschooling where you weren't homeschooling before, and so you can't. Well, obviously, you know you're there, you're at home, you have to be the person, especially in a single parent home, you obviously have to sacrifice career goals in that. Can either of you just talk about that impact? I'm rambling here.
And it's not even career goals. Some of these women were offered promotions or raises and they could not take it because they had too much responsibility at home, too much stress. They couldn't put one more thing on their plate. And also just the fact that, you know, they had kids at home because maybe someone in the household lost an income and they could no longer afford the childcare either, or they didn't feel safe utilizing childcare anymore. But that's just another one of those exacerbated problems where if there are two people in the household, it's more likely the wife or the woman to give up those opportunities. So it's not even like, I can't even think about career advancement. It's, I can't accept that opportunity for more income in my house, you know, in my household.
And what we do know, though, is if early research in the pandemic, national research says that, and this was really, think back all the way back to March, April, and May, and June. So research around there actually said that men were still getting promotions in most settings, and women had stopped getting promotions. And a lot of that early one was the shutdown of some industries, but also the unpaid care work. So we have other research on unpaid care work. And even if there's two people in the home, and we do know from research that many men have stepped it up. But what's interesting is that they perceive this step up is about equal, that now their spouse, if they're both working, are doing about the same unpaid care work. And what we know from women is that absolutely not. So there's a lot of invisible unpaid care work, emotional labor, different things that women just have done. And it's kind of invisible in the home until something happens. It's amazing when something happens and a spouse or the partner, male partner, picks up some of that. They're like, wait, this is a lot of work.
I know one comment that has resonated with some people is, you know, I have 50-50 partnership with my husband, but it's me the kids always come to. So.
And one great, great quote. Let me see if I can find it. Maren, maybe you can find it too. Oh, here it is. Another mother said, under the category sacrificing advancement for family, COVID has not changed career advancement for me. Caregiving has. So that whole, you know, caregiving, more caregiving because you don't have childcare or it's not consistent. And then the homeschooling was a huge impact on many women, huge impact. I mean, when you're worried and stressed, and by the way, it adds that burnout and that emotional labor, that emotional stress, when you really, and women worry more than men, I have to say. We do. But when you're worried about your kids losing a year of school, that's a heavy burden for women to take because that is our, we love our kids. We want our kids to thrive. And that's a big weight on our shoulders.
Yeah.
This will come out in a future brief too, but it was heartbreaking hearing about the guilt mothers had for not being able to be their child's adequate teacher and be an adequate employee and just put in impossible situations.
You know, and maybe that can lead us into, we're not going to get to every sub theme and every category here because we're running low on time, but the choice between mental and or physical health and career advancement or even, you know, simply maintaining a career. On the physical health side, I think that's kind of obvious. You don't want to get COVID, so you stop working in a public facing job if you have that option, for example, of stopping working. The mental health toll is there as well. Can you give us a sense of that? I mean, I think we're all aware of the mental health toll of the pandemic, but on women, again, being the caregiver with that hidden job, the invisible work, how big of an impact has the pandemic had on mental health for women?
I'll jump in and just give you a little bit from our last brief, and then Maren can pick up from this brief. But in our last brief, when we ran really statistics on all of this, we had categories of burnout, we had categories of hope, and we actually had categories or a question about domestic violence in terms of which is a major mental health issue, right? When you are afraid. And of our huge sample, almost 10% of women, which is huge, were really afraid of violence in their home. So that's just one piece of the mental health I wanted to bring in from the last study. But the other thing is what we found was pretty much women, all industries, all parts of the state, St. George, where their son was a little better on the burnout than other parts of the state. But what we found is that there was some significant perceptions of burnout. There were also some in the positive perceptions of hope. But what I found interesting is there's more burnout than hope. So some significant in that positive. And what I mean by that is we had questions about strongly disagree, you know, the whole disagree to agree. So they were all in that agree. Yeah, I'm feeling burnout, particularly for ones with families and homes, but for everybody. So there's still those things impact mental health. And Maren, yeah, you can talk specifically about this particular brief.
This particular brief is based off of a question specifically about career advancement, but obviously in other questions it was brought up as well, but an increased toll on mental health was easily and by far the most often mentioned sentiment in these comments. And obviously, like, you know, when we're going through and doing the coding analysis, there's a co-occurrence of codes. And so often, like, if they're mentioning increased stress, mental health, anxiety, burnout, guilt, pressure. There's a big co-occurrence with having kids at home, but often, you know, sometimes it's they feel unsafe about COVID and having to go into work and their employer isn't being as safe as they would like. But just far and away, the mental health toll has been massive for these respondents.
There's so much to unpack. I mean, Dr. Madsen, you brought up the, you know, I remember at the start of the pandemic, the fact that we did see more reporting of domestic violence, of abuse in the home, and maybe as a result simply of people being in closer proximity. I mean, that there's an endemic violence and that then It's exacerbated, whatever the word is, by the fact that people are in proximity, and men, of course, are responsible for this violence most often. And so that's just one thing that you brought up. And then, of course, the mental health challenges of the pandemic. There's just too much to unpack in your study, in this particular study, but also in the broader context. Maybe because I know that you have to leave here briefly, let's move, if we can, to the broad category of experiences by various characteristics. And this is a kind of explanation of the obvious fact that women face different challenges at work from the challenges that their male counterparts face in general. But then women of color face different challenges than their white female or male colleagues. And then there's challenges between women who are just starting out in their careers and those who have been there or who are later in their career stages. You know, I think we've kind of touched on the differences between men and women here. Perhaps we can zero in on that experience of women of color as compared with the white female or male colleagues. What do we see there from your from this survey and from your study?
Well, I'll pick up and just tell again a little bit about from our other study, because we had some qualitative, and we're running race data in every one and try and really highlight that, because what we know is women overall, all of us, and men too, but you know, they've struggled during the pandemic too, but our work is around women. But all white women, women of color, we have all struggled. However, what the national research tells us is that really, and we're seeing this play out in our data here in the state of Utah, is that there really are some differences between women of color and white women. And I have to go deeper, even though we didn't have all the data. We had people from all kinds of races, but some of the numbers were down. But we are seeing differences between even, you know, Black women and Asian and the different, you know, kinds of women of color, because they don't all fit nicely into one category, and right. They have different experiences as well. But we definitely, from our first study, did find, in terms of, we ran data on concerns of income and concerns of just keeping your job and retention and money earned and those kinds of things, we definitely saw an impact with women of color really struggling more and having more anxiety around those issues than white women. Again, white women were still concerned with those things, but there really is a difference. So we really need to continue researching and understanding that women of color, their experiences are not always exactly the same as white women.
Maren Christensen, your thoughts there?
I would just say the compounding effect of the pandemic and also the increased focus on racism and the pressure companies are facing by the public, rightly so. So it was really interesting just to hear their experiences, not feeling particularly safe, especially in Utah. So we need to just be really mindful of the fact that they're just experiencing more negative effects from this year. And especially when women of color are more likely to be working in the industries, those essential industries that they felt a little bit exploited, right? Like we needed those services, but they weren't necessarily paid more. They weren't given like the childcare.
But had increased risk.
I thought I'd jump in real quick and just because I think this quote is telling. So this was a woman, she said, "Since some of my family members are undocumented, they were left without work, and I had to step in and support them financially. I took care of my father and brother with disabilities through a great portion of the year. Since both are in high-risk, vulnerable populations, the challenges presented me at work were made to be even more significant. This financial stress, concern over my family's health, mixed in with poor work environment, led me to make the difficult decision to leave my professional field for temporary work in an adjacent field. I worry that this could have a significant impact on my career goals." I just thought that was an important perspective with, you know, we talk about citizens a lot, but sometimes we have residents within our state that really have some unique situations that many of us don't see.
Right. There's a minute and 10 seconds left before we end up here. And so I'm wondering if we can just, quickly talk about why this kind of research, why you do this kind of research, and then you know, what we should take away from this brief and from the sort of cumulative research that you've done about women in the pandemic. That's a huge topic to broach with not much time, but what is the takeaway, and why is this research important?
Well, we do at the Utah Women in Leadership Project, we do research on so many different topics that really impact women's voice and their confidence and their employment and in politics and different things. And we do these for one reason, and that is because we need change in the state of Utah. And we, in the state of Utah, we're not in a place where we can support and lift women. We just can't be the state that we really want to be to attract more employers. And we have a good economy compared to lots of states. But I'll tell you, in terms of diversity and support for women, we have to do more to really keep our state in places that we can thrive. So we're doing this research to really help change and help businesses, help the government in terms of state policies. You know, we need more public policy changes, and help families, and help, I should say, help women themselves understand that maybe I'm not alone. You know, a lot of people, you know, I'm one of a couple thousand that are really struggling with some of these things. So that's why we do it. We really want to help people have more tools to change in their businesses, in their homes, I should say, in our communities and in our state in general.
And the disparate impact that the pandemic had on women gives us a really beautiful opportunity to say, here's the supports women will need for the next time this happens, so they're not so disparately impacted.
And I guess that it probably also seems to indicate, you know, it's almost like this was an experiment, not a good experiment, but the pandemic was a time to look at those disparate impacts, disparate experiences, and realize that they were even more acute than maybe we recognized without the sort of experimental influences of the pandemic. But
yeah, none of us women researchers are surprised.
I do think, to conclude here, that what's interesting, I've heard quotes from different people that basically say, you know, there was inequity before the pandemic, but what we've found is when there's struggles with equality, now, during the pandemic, there's more struggles with equality. If there's unfair practices during the pandemic, there's more unfair practices. So it's really kind of accentuated the inequities that were already there.
Yeah.
And really brought out some things like childcare and those kinds of issues that we really have needed to address for years and years. And now they're coming at the forefront because all of us are seeing these are important. And if we really want to continue to look at the economic development and, you know, and the workforce elements in the state of Utah moving into future years, then we need to make sure both men and women and families around the state are in positions to thrive.
Okay. Dr. Susan Madsen is director of the Utah Women in Leadership Project at the John M. Huntsman School of Business at Utah State University. Maren Christensen is research associate at the Utah Women in Leadership Project. Thank you very much for explaining this research, and I'll put a link to the brief on our website, but thank you again for your time.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
That's it for In the Hive here on KCBW. Post your thoughts, comments, your own experiences with how the pandemic has impacted you or your family's livelihood. And you can do that at KCBW's Facebook page, where we will shortly post this show. Find podcasts out there in podcast land or at kcbw.org. The show's theme music is by Andrew Shaw. I'm Roger McDonough. Thanks for tuning in, and join us again next week.